B-Pod Studios.
Joel, he passes to Ben Simmons down low. His back wrapped up by Tatum, but he put it in. Sixers down 39-32. Here's Embiid going right at Baines and a jump hook in the lane. He's in double figures of 11. Oh, man. Smart knocked out Embiid. And Embiid is going after him. We got action here in the center. Here's Redick with another three. And that's good. A triple by Redick. Around it goes and in. Back-to-back threes by JJ. On the drive, Embiid is fouled by Tatum, and it's in. What a shot by Embiid. And he can tie the game. He gets up and looks to the crowd. And wags his index fingers.
I told Joe to please get me to the fourth quarter.
Jimmy Butler, the catch, the shot, the three is good. Jimmy Butler, baseline right by the Sixers bench, gets his first three. Back out to Ennis, up top Butler. Three ball, Jimmy Butler is up and goes. Jimmy Butler knocks down the three. Here's Butler on a drive, into the lane, left hand layup, good. He went right by Kyrie. Irving's looking at Forrest like, give me some help, man. It's Jimmy Butler. Here's Irving on a drive, into the lane, gets around Embiid. Embiid blocked it, and Embiid pulls down the rebound. Jimmy with the dribble, he shoots it. It's good. He made it with under 5 seconds to go. Jimmy Butler has come up huge. The Sixers win. They beat Boston for the first time this year. It's a three-point win, 118-150. Finally, everybody. Finally. I told you they'd win this game. And they won this game. I was amongst the people last night, Trey, as they were running out. Bob, I know you were down there. The people are coming out of the Wells Fargo Center. It was like a parade leaving the Wells Fargo Center. People were so jacked. People were so excited, as they should have been, being able to finally beat the Boston Celtics. I know I had my fun with Ben Simmons yesterday, but he had a nice little game for himself. Nothing great, nothing bad. Only two turnovers for him. He played well. Joel Embiid is a god, ladies and gentlemen. And
man, I'm trying to be dominant.
And you are dominant. Forget about trying, JoJo. You were dominant last night. It was frustrating at first. Because you see this little finesse game from JoJo. And you're like, no, stop doing that. Stop doing that. Play some bully ball. I know it seems like an overused phrase nowadays, but I want to see that bully ball. And the next thing you know, JoJo is down on the blocks. He's banging boards. He's got his elbows up. He's owning Al Horford. He's owning Aaron Baines. He's owning whoever they're putting in front of him. And he is taking care of business to the tune of 37 points. And that little drop you heard in there, in that show open, with Jimmy Butler and Joel Embiid, was nothing short of incredible. For him to say, for Jimmy Butler to say to Joel Embiid, look, man, just get us to the fourth, and I'm going to make it do what it do, baby. Mm-hmm. And he goes out there, and that's 15 points in the fourth quarter for himself. It was perfect. It was just as they planned it. Now, I didn't hear him talking to Serena Winters right after the game. I heard Jimmy Butler in the post-game news conference talk about that conversation he had with Embiid, and it was just like they drew it up. Embiid comes out with about 34 points in the first three quarters of the game. Jimmy Butler just comes in the bottom of the ninth inning and closes the Celtics out. It was incredible. There was frustration. There was one point late in the game where the Sixers, I believe, were down 99-90.
Yeah.
It looked like the Sixers were throwing everything they could at Boston. It just wasn't coming to fruition. They had the lead by a point in the third quarter. But other than that, they couldn't grab it back. But rest assured, I never doubted them for a second. I felt like, I really did it, Bob. You're giving me a goofy look. Mm-hmm. I felt like there was no way they were going to lose this game last night. They came back and they made it happen against the Celtics. Finally, they made it happen.
I went in all in with them.
You did?
Yeah, man. You know, I went all in. You know, 3.5-point spread. I'm all in.
Yeah.
I think they're going to go cover the over. I'm all in.
No, that you almost did
damn
well.
Last-minute buzzer beater.
Yeah.
Such BS. Damn it, man. I love the win.
Mm.
Awesome win.
Yes.
Great team win.
Uh-huh.
3.5-point spread. Damn it, man.
So I'm interviewing fans as they're leaving, and we get all these hype fans, how excited they are, right? It's for NBC Sports Philly. And most of them are excited. Then I get one guy that's like, do you believe the spread? The spread killed me tonight, man. It killed me. And I was like, no one cares about your money. How do you feel about the Sixers? And he's just like, oh, yeah, cool. Jimmy Butler's the man.
Yeah.
I hear you, buddy.
You know, you're excited about the win, but.
Sorry.
3.5 point spread.
Yeah, I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry. But nonetheless, they came out with
a win. I really want to talk to someone that whoever is over this. When it comes to laying out the spread, I need to know. You know, how do you
how are they so good at it?
Yeah, how do you come up with that?
Yeah, it's
how
amazing.
How do you come up with
it?
That?
Yeah, it's amazing. If you that, really dive in, you, they're good.
That right there is freaking amazing to say. You know what? 3.5 points. And you know what? Buzzer beater. Yeah, you lost.
A lot of people think they're line makers in Vegas. It's actually just wizards. They're like, it's like Harry Potter and all those guys.
You know, they're all flying around on carpets.
Aladdin?
Yeah,
what?
I don't know.
Is there a carpet in Harry Potter? I don't even know.
I don't know.
Yeah, I always have wands. Everybody wears glasses, maybe.
Okay.
Something like that. But Mark, you had a great line. Went just as they planned it.
Just as they drew it up, Bob.
Well, talking to Brett before the game, you know, somebody said to him, like, look, people are saying that it should be easy. Put Embiid down low and pound, pound, pound. And Brett's like, but it's not. And he said, yeah, do we want to feed Joel the ball and have him take advantage of Horford because you think of what he has? Yes, we do. But it can't just be grab the ball, pound, 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 down low, and turn around, shoot. You got to give him some space. And that's exactly what they did. Mm-hmm. They got him to space whoever was covering him, and he beat him off the dribble. He hit little jumpers. He did everything that they planned to do, just as you said.
I was yelling at the TV, you know, and I'm like in a working environment trying to watch the game, right? And I have never been so emotional watching a regular season game in any sport. Like, I'm trying to think of games it compares to, and the only games that come to mind are games where the Phillies or the Flyers or whoever else were clinching playoff berths. Like, that's what this game was like for me.
Yeah.
Edge of my seat the whole time. No matter what the Sixers went down, I felt like they were going to come back.
Really?
I really did.
I felt
like there was that gear they hadn't hit yet. And it might be weird to say this. I was almost comforted by the fact that in the first half, the Celtics shot 58% from the floor.
Yeah, that's the first thing you looked at.
And I'm like, they're not going to keep that up. Turns out they shot like 44%, which is still pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. But when I was looking at that, I was going, there's no way they keep that pace throughout the game. And sure enough, they did not. And the Sixers started to make their shots. They started to draw fouls. Joel Embiid had three shots outside the paint last night. That's what I want to see from JoJo. Yeah. Late in the game, I believe it was in the fourth quarter, he shot a three, and I was like, don't you dare.
Yeah, from that right wing.
Don't
yeah.
you dare start doing that, JoJo.
Yeah.
And that was the only one he took late in the game. But other than that, he played great.
It's funny. I mean, of the 48 minutes, you say I was frustrated for 35 of them.
Okay.
No, I'm serious. Like, just like, oh. And then, so they get down 11 at half. They made a little bit of a spurt there. They come out to start the second half. Literally, I said this in the 5 o'clock hour. The TV goes to Kyrie Irving standing at midcourt waiting for the Sixers inbound, and he yawns. And it wasn't a showman yawn. It wasn't like he wasn't. He literally, like, to himself, just yawned. I was like, wow, that's weird. Sixers come out, first possession in the second half, don't get a shot off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell is going on? This Celtics, this green, it eats at your heart.
Shot clock violation.
Yeah.
Shot clock, yeah.
JJ had the ball in his hands, and after the turnover, you could see him mouth into somebody else. I thought somebody said five, as in like 5 seconds.
Right.
And it was like, no, you won. Like, you got 1 second, you get rid of that ball. And then you get rid of the ball. They're already down at half, as we know. They come out just as they started the game, flat.
Yeah.
And you have a turnover immediately. And then a little angel came by. And this angel's name is Marcus Smart. And that the big dumb idiot goes over to Joel Embiid, can't stand the fact that JoJo gave him a little shoulder shimmy, and then he gets up off the ground and goes and shoves JoJo in the back. A little scuffle ensues. We'll let you hear how Tom McGinnis described it a little bit further beyond what you just heard in the show open there. But really, from that point on, Sixers go on a 21-12 run. They get back on track. They grab the lead briefly. They lose it. But they really ended up closing out this game because Jimmy Butler did the thing that Jimmy Butler does. And he absolutely closed the game out. 15 points in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. He had 22 overall. Seven points leading up to that moment, the fourth quarter. He did exactly what he said he would do. He did exactly what he's been able to do. And he did exactly what he did before the Sixers acquired him. before the Sixers traded for him. They needed fourth quarter scoring. They needed somebody that was a little bit of a veteran, and that's certainly Jimmy Butler. And the reason he came here to Philadelphia was to do what he did to the Celtics in the fourth quarter, which was close them out. That's what I want to see from Jimmy Butler. More of that, please.
Yeah, and he had another play where he had the ball and he hit Tobias Harris down low and he got an easy layup or a dunk, whatever it was. All the defensive's focus went towards Jimmy Butler last night because of the way the Sixers were playing. And he not only did he respond with big shots, but he made other plays as well. And you know, that's what you need. You need for the defense to focus on one player and look at his surrounding cast. They're going to help him out.
So what does it mean? So what does this mean? A highly emotional win. Biggest win, obviously, of the season for the 76ers. What does it all mean? Now, just being real with everyone, you knew going into the game, you didn't have Gordon Hayward going for the Celtics. You lose Aaron Baines and Marcus Smart, two good role players that play for the Celtics, obviously. Marcus Smart more so. You lose them for the vast majority of the second half. What does this mean? Can the 76ers beat the Celtics in a seven-game playoff series? Does this win over the Celtics mean that you now have the Celtics in the rearview mirror? Do you now feel like the Sixers are a much better team? They finally got this monkey off their back? Or do you feel like this is still a huge concern if they face the Celtics in the postseason?
Yeah.
I don't want to use the word scared because it invokes a stupid phrase, but I'm just saying, do you feel like this team would still give them a lot of trouble? Would it be a seven-game series? Would they blow them out of the water? What would be the how do you see it playing out, Trey?
I see Boston still giving them a problem. I mean, you know, this was a game where you came in with all of your weapons.
Would they win? Would the Sixers beat the Celtics in a seven-game series?
Yeah, I think so, but it's not going to be a just go in there and just sweep them.
No, well, it's a seven-game series.
Seven-game series, I think they take it. You know, I think they take it, but it's going to be a battle.
Mm.
It would be a battle to get them out of there.
I'm with you. I think they beat the Celtics in a seven-game series. I think they beat them in the playoffs. I ain't afraid of no Celtics, Bob Cooney.
I'm not afraid, but no, I don't think the Sixers beat them in a seven-game series.
You're terrified, then.
No, it's just, like, if you look at last night was playoff-like because you had two starters going 40 minutes, everybody else going about 30. Boston's bench was depleted because, yeah, Smart, Baines get out, you know, an injection and an injury, and you don't have Gordon Hayward. Sorry, that's the difference right now. I mean, those guys are healthy, and they're able to come off the bench in a seven-game series. You need bench players, and the Sixers don't have anything right now. They're getting the last two nights, they're getting absolutely nothing from the bench, and that's a major concern to me, and the Celtics' depth is a huge, huge advantage. Would it go seven games? Probably. Could the Sixers win a seven-game series? Absolutely. If you're asking me right now, who do I think would win a seven-game series? I'm leaning towards the Celtics.
Major boulder killers! they outworked them a lot during this game, just especially on the offensive rebounding. I mean, you know, Boston always had a second shot.
Seemed like it, didn't it?
Yeah, they seemed like they always had a second shot compared to we throw one up and then, all right, now we're off and running on down to the other
end. Down the other way, yeah.
And the other thing was, if you look at the bench scoring in this game, there were so many times where they would flash it up on the TV during the game, and it was like 40-3. Like that. The bench scoring in this game was just absolutely just nuts. Not nearly as bad as it was, considering you got scoring from other players.
37-8. Like 37.
And that's where the depth comes in. I get you, but I feel like this was the game the Sixers needed, albeit without Gordon Hayward, albeit with losing some role players later in the game when the Celtics lost Baines and they lost Marcus Smart. I feel like this was the game that the Sixers needed to put the Celtics not far in the rearview mirror, but at least know that they can pass this team. They're past them in the standings. We all know that. But if they face them in a playoff series, I feel like this is the confidence boost that the Sixers needed to know that they could beat this team in a seven-game series. That is our question of the day, brought to you by Window Nation. Sam, what do you have for us?
We asked, would the Sixers beat the Celtics in the playoff series? And we have just under 200 votes so far because I put it up just a little bit ago. 56% say yes.
56%.
Almost split.
We're going to see if it builds. We got Philly J. We got Nick. We got open lines after that. 610-632-0975. We also have a pair of 76ers tickets to give away. A week from today is our knockout tournament at the Wells Fargo Center. Sixers take on the Nets. You'll win a pair of tickets to that game, and you'll win one spot in our knockout tournament. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll hear from Brett Brown what he had to say after the victory last night. And Joel Embiid went ahead and just highlighted his own day. Himself after the game. What JoJo said, if you haven't heard it yet, pure poetry. Time at the Fanatic 615.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston, oh man, Smart knocks down Embiid, and Embiid is going after him. We got action here at the center. Are you kidding me?
That was a jump out of your seat moment, like all rumble. Like if you're in the stands, like I don't know how you're not going to help Joel Embiid out in that situation.
Really?
Like that's what it felt like. We got action here at the center.
No one was going to do it.
I jumped out of my seat, and I was like, I got you, JoJo.
Thanks, Mark.
Like that's what went through my mind, Trey, as a teammate. How do you not, you know, just jump all over Marcus Smart at that point?
Yeah, but it... Yeah, all right.
No, I understand. There's, you got to have control.
It was like a hold me back!
Yeah.
No, well, that always is in basketball.
Yeah.
Basketball,
yeah.
It always is.
It's
you know, like
jump up, I'm trying to hold me back, though.
Yeah, but nah, it was cool, man. You know, yeah. A buddy of mine is a bouncer. He's been a bouncer for like 10 years. Former Marine, you know, one of those dudes. He's like, you know how the best way to stop a fight? Don't get between them.
Yeah.
You'll see those, you know, he used a different word other than pansy. But he's like, you'll see those pansies back down.
Yeah.
They're waiting for somebody to step in between them.
Exactly where everybody is. Just move out of the way. Hey, go ahead. Air that out.
Oh, you're going to let us do that? Oh, I'm not going to do this. This is a bad decision. This is a bad choice. This is a horrible choice. But here's what I love about Joel Embiid. Goes out last night, has that game, 37 points. He has got an MVP performance.
I mean, he balled.
And all the kids listening right now, if the kids are listening and you're on your way to school and maybe you got a basketball practice later today or maybe you're a basketball player, go work on your foul shooting, son. Or daughter. 20 for 21, Joel Embiid last night. Yeah. 20 of his 37.
Ridiculous.
20 of his 37 points.
Usually with a center, that's the Achilles heel. Put him on the line.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't do that with Joe.
I can't. I thought centers couldn't make free throws. I thought that was a thing that they told us when
he's
we were growing up.
He's not normal.
No, he is a freak of a human being. And he goes out there last night for 37 points. He had a double-double. Essentially, what, the first half?
He did double-double in the first half. Yeah.
And then he had 34 points and 17 rebounds and still had a quarter of basketball to play.
Yeah.
That is superhuman.
Yep.
You know what? I'm not even going to... You don't need me to tell you. You don't need me to tell you. You know why? JoJo will tell you himself.
First of all, I'm glad we got the win. Second of all, this is one of the best defensive players in the league. And third of all, I've been hearing that these guys can guard me better than anybody else, so I just have to come out there and show that I'm the most unstoppable player in the league.
I don't know if I've ever coached a game more from my seat than I did last night. Like, in terms of yelling at the TV and in basketball, I was yelling for JoJo to get down to the blocks.
Mm-hmm.
Just enough of this BS of Al Horford being your kryptonite. Enough of this BS of Al Horford owning real estate in your head, Joel Embiid. Go take care of business against a player that you are clearly better than. Is Al Horford ever going to contend for an MVP?
No,
it's not going to happen.
No, especially now.
Especially now. And Joel Embiid decided, enough of the BS. I'm taking you to the block, and I am going to chop you down. And that's what he did last night. And hey, you're watching in the first half of the game, and you're thinking, all right, come on, JoJo, let's get this going. Start bullying the guy down low. That's what he started to do. Started to draw fouls. No one really got in foul trouble, but he started to draw fouls down there, going to the line where he's making his free. He missed 1 of 21. Well, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. Nick and Ridley, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on, Nick?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
I got to be honest with you. Watching the first 3.5 quarters of that game, I was thinking, no way, not again. It's the same song and dance. We get it close. They go back up 9 straight, and we're down 9 points again. But thank God for Jimmy Butler. We can put that disappearing act away. He came up big in the fourth quarter. And I got to agree with you, Mark. I have never been that hyped for a regular season Sixers basketball game. My neighbors must hate me. I was screaming. I was yelling. At one point, after we hit that second three, I thought I almost jumped through the ceiling. It was such a great game.
It really was. I can't think of a regular season game across the board that wasn't a clinching game for a playoff scenario that I was more excited to watch than last night.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait for the playoffs, guys. I'm going to be listening to you all day. Have a good one.
You too, Nick. Appreciate it, man. If it comes down to it, I mean, I'm trying to think. What's a game? Like what's a game that you were excited for in the regular season? Made no clinching implications.
Sunday I was. Sunday I was. Yeah, and it was
what,
funny.
The Bucks?
Yeah, talking to a lot of people down there last night, and they were saying how exciting it was and all that stuff. But a lot of them, you know, security guards and then people at the Wells Fargo Center were saying, "Man, Sunday was like so much fun too." But that's where Sixers basketball has come.
Right.
Every game now is like that.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to change my vote. Then the Sixers are not beating the Celtics in the playoffs because they can't just keep playing playoff games. Just starting Sunday and then last night and then go into the playoffs. They're going to be exhausted until Jimmy Butler comes in the fourth quarter and scores a lot of points. Philly J, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Philly J?
How y'all doing?
Good, buddy.
Y'all was asking the question, would the Sixers be able to beat the Celtics in a
seven-game playoff series? Yes.
Yeah, I'm not so sure of that. The reasons for that, I mean, like y'all was saying, the Sixers bench is straight garbage, and they still have J.J. Redick as their starting two guards. Mm-hmm. And he's going to get abused in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? And I just don't think coupled with the fact that Ben Simmons doesn't shoot, I just think teams will just sag off of him. They're focused on Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler. You don't have nobody that can stop Embiid. I think they closing teams are probably going to key on them too. I'm more confident that the Sixers can beat the Bucks.
Oh, I'm confident in that. The Bucks aren't nearly the matchup nightmare that the Celtics can be because they got a guard in Kyrie Irving that can score and they have a lot more depth. But the reason I still believe the Sixers can beat the Celtics is because I believe their starting five is just so much better than the Celtics starting five. And I don't see a game where Tobias Harris is going to start out going 4-for-14. And I also don't see a game where JJ is going to struggle as much as he did early on in this game.
The Sixers were also coming
off a back-to-back.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. But I'm just not really sold. I mean, like, last season they were 0-3 against Boston and then beat them the last time they played them. And then when they faced them in the playoffs, it was a different story. Also, the Sixers still haven't proved that they could win in Boston. Like, Boston has came to Philadelphia and won games. Hey, did you see the tweet with Terry Rozier after the game?
Which one? The one?
A tweet?
Yeah. I saw it on social media. It said confetti was going to rain down.
Yeah, like that was a quote. Yeah, we actually have the audio of that. Terry Rozier is, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Yeah, he's a douche. Yeah, I'm just going to say that. I think we can all say that. He wants to talk about being lame with Joel Embiid. And by the way, JoJo, did you see this last night after the game? JoJo posted on Instagram, and he had another very famous location. Sometimes he, you know, will enjoy the location on his Instagram post. He put Lameville.
Ah. It just comes down that the Celtics don't respect the Sixers. You look at Marcus Smart. And I can't stand Marcus Smart because I'm a Kansas Jayhawk fan and played at OK State.
Yeah, man.
And then you look at the former Philadelphia guy, Marcus Morris, like when they made the trade for Tobias Harris, I remember him saying, good move, but still not enough.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Marcus Morris is the guy. Thanks for the call, Philly J. Marcus Morris is the reason they won that matchup on February 12th. The Celtics beat the Sixers. Because remember, going into that game, Marcus Morris called out his teammates saying that there wasn't enough intensity.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. People just didn't get it. And, Bob, you were saying this in the 5 o'clock hour. I haven't heard enough of this. The Celtics have a little inner turmoil going on.
Well, I talked to some, you know, people that I know in Boston that were down for the game last night and just was trying to get a feel of what it's been like all year. And one of the things I asked, I said, is Brad Stevens having a good year? And like, no, not really. So, and that's okay. A coach can have a bad year. That's all right. And then I said, well, what's the locker room? What is it like? Does this team get along? It's like, the chemistry has just been so up and down. It's not really good at all. And, you know, you look at a Kyrie Irving on that, and his name was mentioned. And so it's not the ideal situation for Boston. So the fact that they're doing as well as they're doing, from what I gathered from the people I talked to in Boston, is somewhat surprising.
Mm. Alex is pointing out to me on Twitter right now, the best Philadelphia sports regular season win since the Miracle at the Meadow Part 3. Miracle at the Meadowlands Part 3, DeSean Jackson taking it to the house. That big comeback. What were they, 27 points down? They scored 29 points in about 8 minutes, whatever it was. It was incredible. Let's get Pat up here in Philly. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Pat?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Hey, I was thinking the Marcus Smart shove to Embiid. It's not so much the cheap shot that really got me mad. It was the fact that it was a like a player that wasn't as good as Embiid. Like if Kyrie would have shoved him in the back, that would have been something. But it was almost like they threw like a hockey game where they threw a goon at one of our best players and tried to get our best player injected in a fight.
Yeah, you know what? Kyrie's not a head case like Marcus Smart could be a head case. He's not that type of player. Mm-mm. Like, I think Marcus Smart has a gear to him that can be punk. I don't think Kyrie has a punk gear to him.
No, I'm not. Maybe I didn't say that correctly. I'm saying maybe if a playoff, what if Embiid would have swung on that and so Marcus Smart and Embiid got ejected? That's like what they're doing. Like these guys like Terry Rozier and Marcus Smart. Like, I don't even want to even think about these guys like that.
Well, Marcus Smart, and I'll say it again for in case people
he's
didn't hear
trash.
Me.
He's trash.
I was going to say he's a big dumb idiot. You have a situation where you're leading in the game. I think they were up 10 points at that point in the game, the Celtics were. Something like that. And
11. Yeah, they were up 11.
11 points.
Yeah.
And Marcus Smart chooses to push their best player. Like, that's not the way to go about things. Like years ago, I mean, you made a hockey analogy a second ago. Remember when Max Talbot fought, or when Dan Carcillo fought Max Talbot with the Flyers up 3-0 in the playoffs, and then the Penguins ended up coming back after that fight? You don't need to do something like that, you know, anything that would recharge their battery, you don't need to do. And that's what Marcus Smart did for the Sixers. So, hey, Marcus Smart, thanks again.
Well, I would say, what would you guys say we should enforce this next time that happens? I'll hang up and listen.
All right, thanks, man. Appreciate it, Pat. To enforce? Trey, how would you enforce?
What do you mean?
If next time somebody pushes Joel Embiid, what do you do? I think you do exactly what you did.
Yeah, it's part of the game.
As much as I wanted to jump out of my seat and go, you know, kill somebody.
And what I say is, hey, Mike Scott, you're checking in.
Three's no manager.
Yeah,
you want to get nuts?
Get in there.
Or you do what you did and you feed Joel the ball even more because you know that's how he's going to respond. That's the punch he's going to throw. He drove the lane. It looked like it might have been a travel. Mm-hmm. He might have scored like 8 of the next 12 points for the Sixers because he got ticked off.
They have the Embiid versus Smart situation. Then Embiid gets the 2, goes back to the free throw line. He hits a couple of the free throws. He draws a foul on Kyrie Irving. Next thing you know, Butler starts to go off just a little bit. Redick hits those back-to-back threes. Really, since then, and then they go on the 21-12 run in total. That's not bad at all.
Why in that situation did with Smart and Embiid, why was Irvin able to get that technical?
Because Embiid went after, the argument is, and I think it's stupid, Embiid went after Marcus Smart. Nothing happened, but he went after him, so they called a T on him, the flagrant on Marcus Smart, and ejected him from the game.
Mm. Yeah, I'm going to text one of my referee friends this morning and find out exactly why. To get a technical, because you get shoved to the floor and you get up and run after somebody. You didn't push anybody. Mm-hmm. You didn't do anything. Basically, you're going there to protect yourself. I don't know why that warrants a technical.
Yeah,
Is that what you're saying, Trey?
I didn't get that.
Yeah, me neither. And it's so NBA-ish. But it is. I mean, you fully expected that. I think Ollie even said, you know what's going to happen? They're going to give a technical to Joel. Smart will probably get thrown out. And if Joel gets technical, I'm walking out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. Like, Joel didn't deserve a technical for anything. What are you supposed to do when you get shoved down? Stand up and brush it off and smile?
Turn the other cheek.
Yeah, well, guess what? That's not society.
I had a brief back and forth with somebody on Twitter yesterday when I made a comment about that really late whistle with Kyrie Irving allegedly getting fouled by Joel Embiid. It was a phantom call. The ref waited till he missed the shot and then made the call.
Drove me nuts. You see it all the time. It drives me nuts, too. Uh-huh. A few years ago, I called the referee's office, and I said, why does this happen all the time? And they're instructed to do so. If the contact affects the play, meaning a shot is missed, boom, you blow the whistle. If the contact, which is probably not like Joel's play last night, it wasn't, you know, if it affects it,
I understand.
If the ball goes in, then they won't blow it.
Right.
You know, so that's it. They wait for the outcome of the play because they're taught that if the contact doesn't affect the play, don't make a call.
The definition of a foul, I believe, is a physical contact affecting a play. You know,
so that's why you get these late. And they are frustrating as hell.
But you can tell on release whether or not the shot's affected.
Which yeah, and sometimes the call is made right there. There's no question.
Yeah, by good refs.
I mean, I'm not defending. I'm just telling you what I was told.
I understand. You are reporting. You are the messenger, yeah. And we are not shooting. I promise you that. But, no, I mean, it is still, and we were talking about this yesterday. It's like the pump fake at the defender in the air. They go straight up, staying in their space. Then you violate their space and hit them, and you draw the foul as the offensive player. That doesn't make any sense, but that's the way they call it. It's stupid, but that's the way they call it. Anyway, the refereeing last night, and I'm never one to blame refs. Don't be in a situation where the refs are going to impact the game that much. But by golly, that was some horrible officiating in this game. That was just one of the many examples that you're looking at the game going, what are you even calling? The charge J.J. Redick drew on Kyrie Irving, which gave Kyrie Irving a chance at a three-point play? Are you serious? Are you serious with that?
Yeah, Kyrie really gets those superstar calls, huh?
But the other part of this is, like I was saying, I went back and forth briefly with somebody on Twitter, and I just pointed out how stupid that call was against JoJo putting Kyrie at the line after he missed the shot. And the person came back to me, similar to the way they came back to you, Jamie, and I heard you talking about this in the 5 o'clock hour, which was, oh, the discrepancy in free throws was like 41 to 11 or whatever it was. It doesn't matter. Sixers were playing a totally different style of basketball. They were playing guys down on the blocks. JoJo's down on the blocks trying to draw fouls. They're a finesse game. That's what it looked like from the Celtics. They were shooting from the outside. They're blowing by guys to get to the rim. They were getting open layups. They weren't playing anything like the Sixers. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up in a little bit, we will let you hear from Brett Brown as he talked about his big man Joel Embiid's performance after the game, as well as Ben Simmons and what he brought to the table throughout the game. All four quarters for Ben, we'll get into that, and just how important Jimmy Butler is to the success of this team. Good. Oh, my goodness. Watching him play in the fourth quarter last night, nothing short of incredible. Time of the Fanatic, 640.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson, Andrew Salchunas on the updates. We got some gritty news we'll get into a little bit later. You got some breaking gritty news. Breaking news that can hold off a little bit. For those that haven't heard it yet, we'll have some fun. 610-632-0975. Coming up in a second, we'll let you hear Brett Brown talking about his dominant big man, Joel Embiid. B-Hawk's been holding. What's going on, B-Hawk?
Yo, cuz, what's going on? My fault. I was eating a pretzel. But yo, man.
Enjoy that pretzel. Don't choke, my friend.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But, you know, I'm a hard-nosed, good win, but I'm ready. We all ready for a playoff. You know, I like Embiid. I'm happy for a big man, but don't declare this. And I know you're going to show up, and I hope you show up. And just it's dog time, man. And for the, you know, I'm glad we didn't take the bait to the Celtics. You know, it is kids listening, but if this was another circumstance, you already know what we wanted for Marcus Smart. But that's all I'm going to say in that situation. But it's just dog time, man. And yeah, I'm ready for the playoff. We got a couple rest games coming up. But let's get to it. And you know, this Boston rivalry is going to be nasty. This is going to be nastier than the Giants and Eagles, nastier than the Patriots, because you know, you don't feel them dudes. Them dudes is chumps. This is called someone lame. Where are you from and how old are you? Back in my day, man, come on, man. I'll tell you one thing. Back in my day, what happened last night, it would have been a different outcome. I'm gone. It's dog time.
Absolutely. Thanks, B-Hawk. Appreciate the call, buddy. Enjoy the rest of that pretzel. It was...
Think you went soft pretzel or hard pretzel?
I think it's soft.
Soft. We hear the crunching, Jamie.
Yeah.
Come on, detective. this was the type of game, especially with the way Joel Embiid was playing, that made it feel like 80s basketball again. Mm-hmm. Like, this was like old school basketball. With him going down to the blocks many times. And here's the other part about it. A number of times, he actually got the ball on the perimeter. And he worked his way down to the post. And there were instances where he would do that long swan-like pump fake that he does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, no, please don't start that. We don't need that right now. Please don't do that. Even though he only shot three threes in the game, and I believe he made one of them.
Yeah, he did.
That's a situation where I just want you to take it down low. And I want you to go ahead, and I want you to post up Al Horford. I want you to post up whoever they're throwing on you, because guess what? You are better than that guy, mm-hmm. and you should be beating that guy. Make that guy foul you. And that's what he ended up doing. And that's how he played the vast majority of the game. And anytime he didn't, I'm thinking, why? It's easy for you. You make the foul shot. You get fouled. You get the N1. And next thing you know, you get 37 points.
Yeah, he had a move on Jason Tatum at one time where Embiid got the ball foul, like middle foul line. And all he did was throw like a little shoulder fake to the left, and Tatum totally bit on it. One dribble to the right, goes up, Tatum grabs his arm, but he still makes the layup and goes to the foul line. Like it was like a 6-1 guard move. I mean, it was so fluid for a 7-2 guy to like throw a shoulder and ball to the left, get the guy off balance, and then beat him to the right. And that's what Brett said before the game. As much as everyone thinks, you know, have him post up and he can just turn around and dominate, I think Brett thinks it's better, and so does Joel, to have a little bit of space to work with, just like you're talking about, Mark. Grab the ball, boom, whatever your move is, go and go to the basket hard.
That's what makes him such a special player. He is so light on his feet when he is in the offensive, but when he's on the offensive side of the court, he's still getting better defensively. I mean, he's still a monster defensively, but offensively, he is like watching a 6'3 point guard.
My God, I mean, yeah, his ball skills are ridiculous, but I tell you what, though, Al Horford does play him well, though.
Mm-hmm.
He does play him well, where he's giving him body and then he pulls out of it, you know, where he always keeps Embiid off balance. He plays him well.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate the way Embiid did take his game down into the perimeter. That corner three-pointer could have gone without it. But, you know, hey, whatever, you know, do your game. But I tell you what, his ball skills are just ridiculous. His handles, it's on guard level.
What was unreal was going into the fourth quarter, I believe, Horford only had two fouls.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would have expected him to have a lot more with the way Joel Embiid was playing. But they actually, I know we made a little bit of an issue of it. With the way the Sixers were switching defensively, they were getting beat a lot.
Mm-hmm.
How many times, though, did we see Jason Tatum on Joel Embiid? Yeah. Like, they were switching off in situations. And I know you can't rip all the holier-than-thou Brad Stevens, but when they were switching, it wasn't working out for them either. And guess what? They really didn't have anybody on that court that could have defended Joel Embiid last night.
No.
That was a situation where you step onto the court and nobody's beating you because you're that determined to score.
And I liked how Brett, in the third and mostly in the fourth quarter, found Kyrie Irving and exploited his defense. He did to the Celtics what the Celtics commonly do to the Sixers, and that's do the high pick and roll, get the mismatch that you want on the switch, and go from there. And Kyrie Irving can't defend perimeter players such as Jimmy Butler or a Tobias Harris. And Brett did a good job of pulling him out to have to try to do that last night.
There was a great job. I was watching the game on NBC Sports Philly. There was a great job by whoever was getting the audio, like the natural sound audio, when Ben Simmons in the, I think it was the third or fourth quarter, the second half, bringing up the ball, and they zoom in on Brett, and you could hear him calling the play. And the next thing you know, you saw a dribble high handoff and try to get penetration off of that. It didn't work out for him, but he was trying to get something going right there.
35 rub it was.
Was that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the one you're talking about, right? Where you came across his chest, 35 rub?
It wasn't there. I didn't see him come across. Yeah, I mean, I could hear it.
Right.
And then I was more so looking at Ben than anything else.
Yeah.
But, I don't think they were able to score off of it, but I actually think Zumoff called the play. Like I heard Brett Brown, and then I heard Zumoff go, watch the dribble high handoff here.
Yeah, yeah.
And next thing you know, dribble high handoff. I'm like, oh, Mark's going to get
even
the
name the play. It was like A to B.
Yes, that's what it was. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
it was like A high to B something or something.
It was let's do the one with JoJo kicks ass. Okay. Yeah. Speaking of which, here is Brett Brown after the game talking about his big man and his dominance.
You know, he wasn't in a back-to-back situation. Like, I give those guys a banged out two sort of 38-minute games, 37-minute games, just a ton of credit, but he's waiting for us to return. You know, the Celtics history, we all understand, and he was very, very dominant tonight.
That was the guy that you pay to see, Joel Embiid. That's the guy that earlier on in the season I was talking about, that guy's going to be the MVP of the damn league. And you know what? He's definitely going to finish in the top three at least. Let's get Steve in Salem County. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Steve?
Good morning, everyone.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Mark, you stole my thunder a little bit. You bounced on the referees. I thought the officiating last night was horrible. Horrible. And it seemed like the Sixers really suffered for it. I had another question. What about the Baines injury? Does that really enter the picture to change the game, or is that a non-factor?
I think it's definitely a factor.
Yeah, it's definitely a factor.
Anytime you lose one of your rotational players, yeah, it becomes a factor.
Okay. I just thought that maybe it might have changed because he seems to have headspace in the Sixers.
He owns that real estate, yes.
Yes, he does, and I thought it could have changed the complexion a little bit.
Yeah, look, it's no small thing that Aaron Baines missed the second half, Marcus Smart missed pretty much the entire second half, and that Gordon Hayward didn't play in this game. I mean, if I'm a Celtics fan, that's what I'm throwing in the face of Sixers fans. Fortunately, I'm not a Celtics fan. But the thing that you go back to with the Sixers, though, is that these are guys that are still trying to learn how to play together. This is only their eighth game together. They improved to 7-1 in those eight games, with their only loss being to the Celtics over a month ago. This is their eighth game playing together. They were coming off a back-to-back, even though Joel Embiid had the night off from before. And this is a situation where you're going to go into the playoffs with a better seed. So I think the Sixers will have that home court advantage if they end up taking on the Boston Celtics in the playoffs.
The last comment I wanted to just say is best Embiid performance to date. That was, I loved him down low. I just loved his attack on the rim.
Absolutely, Steve. Thanks for the call. I'm going to put you in the running for our 76ers tickets. So you got the Nets tickets going on against Brooklyn on March 28th. That's a Thursday, a week from today. And then you also get a spot if you win those tickets, Steve. You'll get a spot in our knockout tournament after the game as well. Let's get Shannon in Georgia. Shannon, what's going on?
Hey guys, doing good. Doing really good. Hey, real quick here, my thoughts about last night's basketball game. You know, I'm happy for the win, but God, I'm so disappointed at the same time. And a couple things I wanted to point out last night. The previous caller said it, the officiating. We can say what we want to say as Sixers fans, but that game changed, you know, after Baines was gone. But of course, that wasn't officiating. He just got hurt. I'd love to see what his plus minus was, by the way. But the Marcus Smart situation, for him to get kicked out of that game last night, I thought that was trash. I mean, you know, they there was a flagrant elbow that
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.